Ole Miss fans, you can never be too careful, especially these days and with young kids at home. Don't take any chances and secure your home with Eufy Smart Lock, an easy install, all-in-one security device for your front door and that peace of mind we're all looking for. I myself am a Eufy user, and I can tell you firsthand, go ahead and ditch those house keys forever, grab a Phillips head screwdriver, because that's all you'll need, and give Eufy Smart Lock a try today. No monthly fee, and Eufy customer service is waiting on standby 24/7 to help you with any and all home security needs. So what are you waiting for? Head to Vault Hemingway or the Pavilion or Swayze Field to cheer on your Ole Miss Rebels with the reassurance your home is in good hands with Eufy Smart Lock. Eufy Video Lock makes it easy to keep an eye on things back home. Its built-in camera can tell you who's at the front door from the comfort of your stadium seat. Search Eufy Video Lock, that's E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com, eufyofficial.com/video lock, to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Smart Lock and Eufy Video Lock, a proud sponsor of the Talk of Champions podcast network.
All we can be sure of is this.
Zach Berry and Grayson Weir are hashtag not committed.
I love a good train wreck.
Hey, what up? This is Not Committed. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Joining me as always, Grayson Weir. We are here to talk all things recruiting. We might as well just lump NIL into it now, as that is intertwined with recruiting. We've got a myriad of topics today. We're going to talk about a particular SEC West quarterback that has left the their respective program, and then we'll get into a little basketball recruiting, and then new member of the Ole Miss football team that will be in uniform for the 2022 season. So a lot to get to here on Tuesday's show. So with that, without further ado, Grayson, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, Zach. We're doing well. Again, we're closing in here on football season, and things are starting to get real.
Yep. 2 weeks of fall camp down. Third week has started. As it is, I guess, day two of week three as we record this. First scrimmage was on Saturday. Lot of stuff happened in terms of the quarterback competition. Both quarterbacks did some nice things. From what I heard from people that had boots on the ground, people that were there saw it with their own two eyes. They said that Dart had a pretty nice day, two touchdown passes, was clean, took care of the football, and some other guys popped here and there. Altmyer did some good things as well. Had a couple picks. One was kind of a heave at the end of a, you know, a period, a quarter. I don't know how they were doing the scrimmage, but, you know, heaving one deep to try to get a score before that series had ended. But, quarterback competition still ongoing. You know, obviously Lane Kiffin is not named a starter. I told somebody this week that I think the competition is going to probably go well into the season, probably 2-3 weeks before Kiffin decides to go with someone, just to kind of create some semblance of continuity and to get a flow and get some rhythm going with everyone. That's just my opinion. He could have a starter named by week one and just roll with that and then have a backup. But let's get into the big news. You got some thoughts? Yeah.
We talked a little about this in the last episode. I obviously don't know, and Kiffin hasn't made his plan public. But we talked about this, whether he names a starter or not by week one. I think he will. I think he will name a starting quarterback week one. But then inherently, just based off of the schedule, you're looking at least 2 weeks where both guys are going to get pretty much a full half of playing time. So whether you like it or not, this quarterback battle is most definitely going into the season, perhaps as far as Kentucky. But I think more than likely Kiffin gives, you know, both guys a half against Troy and both guys a half against Central Arkansas, and then names a definitive starter, whether that be the same starter by that he named for week one or not by the Georgia Tech game. So whether you like it or not, y'all at home, buckle up, because this quarterback battle is for sure going into the first 2 weeks at the very least, just based off of the schedule and the flexibility it allows to play some, I won't use the term garbage time, but like to sub in the second team offense pretty early in the game. So it's coming up and it's going to be here to stay for a while.
Yeah, and we've talked about it ad nauseum at this point, but the schedule sets up nicely to where it lets them kind of get their footing and, work out the kinks, figure some things out before conference play starts. Because essentially it's, the season is cut into two parts where you've got the non-con slate. Georgia Tech's thrown in there, but I think Ole Miss is going to beat Georgia Tech. No spoilers, we'll have a new podcast coming to you this week. More on that as the week goes on. We'll not reveal a name yet, but we will be talking college football across the country and Ole Miss specific week by week. And we'll be doing a little bit of handicapping. So you can either tail us or fade us and try to make some money. But yeah, I mean, I think that they've got some, they got plenty of time to figure things out. And I think that we talked about it last week. Both quarterbacks do things really well. Both quarterbacks are different. But again, we talked about it on Thursday's show with Dart and his ability, not only his ability, but his affinity for stretching the field, pushing the ball downfield. He did that on Saturday. A lot of completions, 15, 20 plus yards downfield, really testing the defense. But yeah, this one's going to go on and on. I think it's going to go into at least, I don't know, mid to late September. I don't know. I mean, I think they, if they don't have anyone named or a starter that they have in mind, I mean, I don't know if Kiffin will actually come out and say Luke Altmaier is the starter or Jackson Dart. He probably won't. But if they don't have it figured out by Kentucky, that's a problem.
Yep.
But it's going to continue. They're going to continue to battle. Still got a couple weeks, but all right. So the big news on Monday, LSU quarterback Miles Brennan announced that he was stepping away from the game completely. Announced his retirement from football as it was, I guess, I don't remember the actual tweet, but it was reported that he is retiring from football. There were reports that came out early in the day on Monday that he was not at practice. Nobody really thought it was injury related. And then radio host Christian Garrick did some digging and then found out that, quote, LSU quarterback Miles Brennan is walking away from football. A source has told me Brennan was informed that he will not be the starting quarterback this fall. So kind of a bit of a snafu down there in Baton Rouge where Miles Brennan was going to get into the portal. I actually can't remember if he actually got into the portal or not. I believe he made it very clear that he was wanting to enter the portal. Brian Kelly, who was hired as the new head coach at LSU, talked him into staying, said he wanted him on the roster, said he wanted him there to compete for the job, opted to stay. I believe I saw a tweet yesterday that he was contemplating leaving, stayed, got engaged at Tiger Stadium. And then Jaden Daniels was signed from Arizona State. And then now he is no longer a member of the football program. So obviously I'm not keeping up with LSU spring practice. I had heard a good bit of buzz about Garrett Nussmeier coming out of fall camp that he was looking like he was going to be competing for that starting job. Jaden Daniels, a guy that was tremendous as a freshman at Arizona State, was kind of up and down last season, and then now he is fighting with Nussmeier for the starting job. I don't think Walker Howard's going to factor in at all. He's probably going to redshirt, the true freshman there out of Louisiana. But Brian Kelly released a statement, said, quote, "We are grateful to Miles for everything he has done for LSU football. Miles is a great leader who has made a tremendous impact on this program, and he has earned the respect of everyone here through his commitment and love for LSU. Miles has always embodied the traits required to fulfill our mission to graduate champions, and we have full confidence those traits will help him succeed at every step of his journey moving forward." Just Man, that statement just oozes scumbag to me. The mission to graduate champions is very reminiscent of the brick by brick Butch Jones thing. And what did they call it? Champions of Life or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Brennan was dealing with injuries throughout his career, but he looked to be healthy, looked to be in decent shape. You know, just seeing some clips and some shots of him during spring and during fall, looked to be like he was going to be competing for the job. And then obviously was told he would not be the starting quarterback, which is, you know, Brian Kelly is someone that loves his quarterback rooms and loves to have multiple guys in the quarterback room. But that was a shock. I figured he would be in the mix. I didn't think that Jaden Daniels signing with LSU was just a shoe-in for him to get the job. I knew Nussmeier was there and was going to be a factor. And then Brennan, obviously, familiarity with, you know, the players, the continuity with receivers and running backs and offensive line and knowing the program and all of that. I know it's a new coaching staff, but I didn't expect this. But it was pretty wild. And then, you know, it is the year 2022. And as I said in the open, NIL is intertwined with college football and with recruiting. And there were some people that were, I don't know if you want to say disgruntled or whatever. People were just being dumb. But, you know, oh, well, Miles Brennan has NIL deals with Raising Cane's and Smoothie King and GameCoin and Small Sliders and Hollingsworth Richards Ford. And, you know, now he's not going to play a game, but he's going to get off, you know. Well, that's how it works. Because as of now, there are no, you know, performance incentive-based deals with NIL. So, yes, Miles Brennan will still get his money, and there's nothing that Darren Rovell or anyone else can do about it. But needless to say, it was a bit of a shock on Monday.
Yeah, it was. And so I have a couple things here. First and foremost, I have been keeping up with the LSU quarterback competition. If the decision was to be made today, it would be Jaden Daniels. But that could all change as soon as tomorrow. Garrett Nussmeier had a great spring. And he is coming off of, I can't remember what injury it was, but some sort of injury. And he returned to practice like either yesterday or today, or he returns to practice tomorrow. I think it was yesterday he returned to practice. And so if the decision was to be made today, it would be Jaden Daniels. However, Nussmeier balled out in the spring and is very much in the mix. So it's going to be basically a two-man quarterback competition over the next, you know, two, three, whatever weeks, depends on if it goes into the season or not. But it's going to be between Nussmeier and Daniels, with right now Daniels is in the lead just because he's been playing during fall camp. But Nussmeier is expected to make a legitimate push and potentially win the job. So then that left Miles Brennan as the odd man out, you know, as the third man on the totem pole. He obviously, so he entered the transfer portal in November and then removed his name after the Brian Kelly hiring. You got to feel for him to some extent, because that sucks. He was totally gaslit. And ultimately ended up losing the job. I mean, obviously that's a testament to the fact that if he can't beat out Nussmeier and Jaden Daniels, then he just isn't good enough to play, you know, at LSU. And so he decided to walk away from football rather than deal with the whole transfer thing 2 weeks before the season, before his final year of eligibility, et cetera. It sucks. I mean, it sucks for Miles Brennan, but at the same time, like you said, he got paid anyway. Now, I was interesting. Darren Rovell yesterday was the one who tweeted that Miles Brennan will get to keep his money or whatever and will still get paid, because contracts can't have in performance based incentives or whatever attached to them in the current NIL era. I was kind of surprised that he said that, because as someone who's supposed to be so in tune with business and NIL and the business of sports, that's not entirely true. So while, yes, Brennan will get to keep likely a good chunk of money from his NIL deals that he signed back in February, for example, with walk-ons. He's since signed ones with, like you said, Small Sliders, Smoothie King, Raising Cane's. And then there's another one he signed with the Hollingsworth Richards Ford. I assume that he got a car as part of that deal with the Ford dealership. I would imagine he gets to keep that because the contract was signed before his decision to retire. But Ravel, the way that he phrased it, as is classic Ravel, left out a large part of the truth. While you can't have performance-based incentives, so you can't say, if you throw for 2,000 yards over the course of the season, we'll pay you X amount extra on top of your initial payout, or if you throw 9 touchdowns in the first 3 weeks, we'll give you, you know, 50K extra, whatever. While that is not allowed, there is no doubt in my mind that the companies who are signing these NIL deals knew that stuff like this was a possibility. So I would venture to guess that although compensating a player in terms of their play or for their play on the field may not be allowed, I would venture to guess, and I know that it, after speaking with some people who are familiar with NIL even more so than myself, and the legality and the ins and outs of it over the last 24 hours or so, about this Miles Brennan situation in particular, contracts can say, you know, you have to play in a game. So more than likely, whether Brennan's deals said that or not, if the company didn't have some sort of clause in regards to like, oh, you have to actually play, you know, to get paid your full amount, then that was foolish of them for not putting that in there, because they could have put something in that said, you know, we'll pay you X amount up front, but then if you choose not to play or if you don't start, whatever, then you can't, you know, this amount of money will not be paid out. So I would venture to guess that Brennan's deals like included some sort of upfront payment. So more than likely, unfortunately, Ravel is probably correct in that these deals that Brennan signed likely paid out a sum of money up front, and that was it. However, there is a possibility that Raising Cane's or Smoothie King or Small Sliders or Walk-Ons, you know, any of the deals that Brennan signed could have had a clause that says, you know, we will pay you so long as you are on the roster. Not playing in the games, but on the roster. So it is possible that Brennan had a couple of his deals voided, at least, you know, with for future payouts, but we don't know the terms of the deals. We don't know what the contracts look like. So more than likely Ravel was right that Brennan will get paid. But these companies know that when they're signing these videos. So it's a risk that they're, you know, willing to take at least to some extent. It likely paid off at least to some extent over the last 6 months. You know, Miles Brennan was quote unquote the guy or was going to be in the mix. And so it's not like his social media posts hindered their marketing plans in any way, shape, or form. But I would venture to guess that this Brennan deal and this whole situation, companies moving forward, I think this will change a lot of things to where NIL deals do include clauses about being on the actual roster or something like that. I don't know what will end up happening, but I think that this Brennan situation and the NIL component to it will end up changing kind of the landscape of NIL and how deals are created and how deals are signed. Because obviously, you know, Raising Cane's doesn't want to be in a partnership with a guy who isn't on the team anymore. So that contract is likely void. But then the question is, you know, how did the payout look? What did the contract terms look? All that stuff. So it's a very interesting case study. That I think is kind of unfortunate, because Miles Brennan, by all accounts, is a good dude. By all, you know, he's got engaged in the offseason. He went to the Manning Passing Academy, like fairly well-liked in Baton Rouge. So it's unfortunate, but I mean, he's doing what's best for him. And ultimately, you know, that's the decision to move on and probably go sell insurance or something.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to have any performance incentive-based NIL deals. Could happen down the road where it's just a way for companies that want to invest in certain athletes to where it's like, hey, we're willing to give you this, but if you, you know, are a finalist for the Thorpe Award, we'll give you a bonus. Or, you know, you rush for 1,200 yards, you know, we'll put you in a commercial. You know, there could be some things like that that aren't like, hey, if you don't do this, you don't get anything. I don't think it's ever going to be that. I think it's just going to be like a, hey, you had a great year. Like, let's give you a little bit, you know, a little bit extra. And now that's where it gets to the point where it's, okay, what if the player is like, I don't want to be in a commercial. I just want more money. Then that's where it could get a little dicey. But, I mean, I don't have an issue with Miles Brennan getting his money from these play. I mean, I don't think Raising Cane's is going to be, you know, staying up late trying to balance their books because of this. Like, they're doing fine. I will say a couple more things NIL related before we hit the break. I'm sure you saw it because it made the rounds yesterday and it was phenomenal. And I guess it came out over the weekend and I just missed it. SOS Heating and Cooling. Which is in Nebraska. I guess they're in Omaha since 1950. Put out a commercial with DeColdis Crawford, a wide receiver for the Huskers. Obviously, for good reason, became a notable name, literally and figuratively, because of how cool his name is, literally and figuratively. He was in a commercial for SOS Heating and Cooling, and it set the bar really high for whoever is going to be jumping into a commercial next, because it was perfect. But that was great. SOS HVAC in Omaha. It was just search DeColdis Crawford on Twitter and you'll see the commercial. It's pretty great.
It's perfect.
I was also talking with a buddy of mine, Justin Kemp, former Ole Miss baseball player, played baseball at UAB, has been on the show a couple times, friend of the program. We were talking about just NIL in general and how to navigate. Just, it's always going to be, you know, we talk about recruiting is fluid, and I guess this is great, you know, how they intertwine and are just going to be parallel to each other for all eternity. But both are fluid, they're constantly changing, constantly evolving. But we were talking about how to adequately reward and pay student athletes, and we were both discussing the idea of giving the players a stipend or a Pell Grant, cost of living check, or whatever. You know, let's say it comes out to roughly $3,000 a month, and then anything else that they make, whether it's off their name, image, likeness, or anything, you know, advertising, commercial, public appearances, whatever. If you put that in a 401k or a savings account, and then that is something to where the player can't touch it until they graduate. And then once they graduate, boom, it's yours. We were talking about it, like, yeah, it's a great idea, but you know, if it's their money, you know, who is the school to say that they can't touch it or they can't do anything with it until they graduate.
Right.
And Justin was comparing it to, you know, well, you know, the NFL or Major League Baseball, you know, they don't cap 20, 20, 21 year olds on, you know, what they can get. You know, they sign for $4 million. It's not like you can only get $300,000. The rest is going to sit in here for a little bit till you get to the bigs and then it's yours. But I do think that it's an idea that could be floated. I don't hate the idea of it because, I mean, just from myself being a parent, not a parent of a student athlete, but I am in charge of two humans that are tiny. I think it's a smart thing to do. But it's just, you know, what kind of restrictions are you putting on a student's value? But he mentioned that it could be an option from like the revenue sharing perspective of TV contracts. You know, there's so much money being made. I mean, isn't the Big Ten about to like, but all the Big Ten schools are about to get like $100 million for their new TV deal or whatever.
Crazy like that.
But yeah, I mean, you look at, I mean, I remember some of the 30 for 30s, I believe it was, but the one that I always remember was like Antoine Walker and all the money that he made. He put a ton of money into real estate and building out apartment complexes and things and trying to invest in his hometown, or I can't remember if it was his hometown or if it was in Boston when he was with the Celtics, but trying to better the community, and ended up just, you know, throwing all of his money away and you know, was really struggling. But, you know, Justin mentioned how many guys in the NFL, you know, play 6, 7, 8 years, you know, making, you know, tens of millions of dollars, and then they go broke within 5 years because they just had their money, did whatever which is their prerogative to do what you want. It's your money, you earned it. But, you know, it's, I think the idea is great because it gives you the opportunity to make money while you're in school. And then it also gives you the opportunity to have, you know, somewhat of a nest egg to when you're done to get your life going, whether that be in a professional organization like the NFL, or whether that's, hey, I got my degree in finance and I'm looking to get started. I need some money for a down payment on a house or a car or whatever. So it's just spitballing, brainstorming, if you will. But I mean, I don't hate the idea.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think it's a great, great way to approach it and to ensure financial stability beyond graduation. But I think the way that things are going right now, it'd be hard to kind of scale things back and do it that way. I think you've opened the door. And so now it's, you know, that door is open and it's going to be hard to mm-hmm. kind of reel things back in. But I think maybe if they had opened it with that, it would have made a lot more sense. But it's probably too late, unfortunately, because it actually is a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of reeling it in, we're going to hit the break here, hear from the sponsors, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the new addition to the Ole Miss football roster. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by Lamar Yard, Oxford's indoor-outdoor restaurant, bar, and entertainment space on South Lamar. They now have an updated menu with non-barbecue options from Tex-Mex to Mississippi Delta catfish to smash burgers. And you can contact Lamar Yard for your private events for the spring and summer. They have a dedicated event coordinator who will help you plan your event from start to finish, and they offer on-site catering. From weddings to Greek parties or corporate events, Lamar Yard is the perfect place to host your next party. Lamar Yard is Oxford's quintessential family and pet-friendly venue, and they look forward to hosting you soon. Check them out at lamaryard.com. And if you want a place for clever dishes and captivating cocktails, look no further than Solal in South Lamar. Chef Erica and her committed team of food and beverage enthusiasts are bringing top-notch cuisine and libations to you 6 days a week. Whether it's happy hour 3 to 6, fresh squeezed margaritas, ramen, 2-for-1 Moscow mules, all of that and more, the best and brightest in-house or via curbside pickup. Check them out, solaoxford.com, or call them at 662-238-3500 and place your order today. Show also brought to you by Memphis restauranteur Kelly English and his restaurant group in Memphis, Tennessee. The renowned chef and his team are offering nationwide shipping and virtual cooking classes with Cooking with Kelly. You can learn more about the nationwide shipping at irisetc.com, and you can also book a virtual cooking class online at table22.com/iris. Kelly English Restaurant Group in Memphis, Second Line Restaurant Iris, and the Magnolia House down on the coast in Biloxi. Show is also brought to you by Cherokee Valley Golf Course in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Get on over, see Cody Allen and the rest of the crew take on their challenge of the wide plush Zoysia fairways and large championship Bermuda greens. They've got 2 putting greens to hone in your game with the flat stick, a driving range, and a chipping green to tighten up that short game. Book a tee time online at olivebranchgolf.com or give them a call at 662-893-4444.
Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters for the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. There isn't much better than spring turning to summer in Oxford, Mississippi. Double-decker, the Grove Bowl, concerts at the Lyric in Vaught Hemingway Stadium, beer showers in right field at Swayze. And don't worry, Tecovas is here to make sure your fit is right as you're stepping out on the square during this festival-style season. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store today. Shop new styles with a complimentary drink on the house. Many Tecovas stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. There's just no in-store experience quite like it. And if you can't make it to a store, that's okay. Check out Tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. Tecovas offers free shipping on all boots, free returns and exchanges too. And they ship right to your door. Head over to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
And we are back here on Not Committed. Zach Berry, Grayson Weir with you. All right, so over the weekend, name popped up on our message board. Some folks were asking who it was. I did some quick research. Was able to figure out a little bit about Mr. Charlie Pollack, a new punter on the Ole Miss team. I believe you may know the specifics. I know Ole Miss has been dealing with some injuries at the punter position. Big shoes to fill after Mac Brown has left the program, fulfilled his duties as punter, and has exhausted all of his eligibility. He is gone. They are trying to find someone to take over what was probably one of the more steady positions on the field. When looking at that team last year with Matt Corral at quarterback and, you know, the running back position, how good they were at the linebacker position, a lot of steady production. And I do think that Mac Brown, I don't think he's forgotten, but you know, they didn't punt a lot, but when they did, he was tremendous. But Charlie Pollack, he was part of, I always get this wrong, and I lived with people from Vegas. Is it Nevada or Nevada?
Oh, God, I think we do this every time. I say both interchangeably, but I think I lean Nevada. But I think it's okay. Probably Nevada.
I don't know.
We're always wrong.
I'm trying to think of how I would say it, but now I'm like messing with my own brain because I'm pretty sure that I said it wrong the whole time I lived with people that were from there. But so he was in their 2020 recruiting class, was on scholarship, which is a rarity for punters. 6'1", 230 pounder from Marietta, Georgia, went to Walton High School, really good high school program, was a five-star recruit by Kohl's, the you know, quasi recruiting service that specializes in special teams, long snappers, place kickers and punters. He was a five-star, was the number 8 punter in the country in 2020. He averaged 39.9 yards per punt as a senior and had a long of 59. The 2020 season was his lone year at with the Wolfpack. So just kind of some common sense here. I feel like he stepped away from football and then transferred back closer to home. since he's from Georgia. And I don't have the quote in front of me, but I believe Kiffin said in the press conference that they found him on campus. Like, he basically asked, I don't know if he asked some staffers or some players or maybe both to go find a punter. He is enrolled in school, and I believe the quote was that they found him at a frat house.
Yeah, he said, quote, "I don't know a whole lot about him. I think he was down at the frat house, you know, like at a keg party or something, where they got him from. So we've got some conditioning to work with to do with my guy. We just said, hey, someone go find a punter on campus. And so we found one that actually used to punt Division One. So you never know.
Perfect. It's better than nothing. I don't know if this was a joke or if this was serious. Somebody said that Kincaid Dent was doing some punting. So if that was the case, and they were getting pretty desperate. I probably should have looked this up. You could probably help me. I believe their punter, who his name is escaping me.
Frazier Mason.
Yeah, he got a little banged up in fall camp, so he was dealing with an injury. So they were trying to find someone, I guess, either for depth purposes or just to just have someone. Our very own Jake Thompson on Thursday reported on the message board at omspirit.com, part of On3, said, according to a source, I was told Pollock, already a student at Ole Miss, but not sure how the football program found out about him. But as you just read, that seems to be the case, that Kiffin was just like, hey, go find me somebody. So yeah, Frazier Mason was the only punter on the official roster, injured, been unavailable for fall camp. And I think it's funny with, I guess, the links they went to find, but I don't really know how far, what the links are, because it was just like, hey, go find someone on campus. But I know Kiffin was joking with, is the place kicker, is it Jonathan Cruz?
Yep.
Yeah. He was joking about how good he was in the scrimmage on Saturday. And he was like, Kiffin basically, I don't have the quote, but he was basically like, I don't know how many times we're going to use him in the season, but he was good. Because we know Kiffin likes to go for it on fourth down. Honestly, it's not the worst thing. It's one thing to go get a walk-on that, spent some time playing soccer and kicking for Jackson Prep. But you actually found someone who was an actual kicker for a Division I football program. So not the worst case. I said 6'1", 230, good size dude. A little more packed to the punch than Mac Brown had. Mac Brown's a little taller, but, a little slender. He was in good shape. And hell, for all I know, Pollock could be in good shape. I haven't seen him. I don't know if he's still 230 pounds, but
not that
230 can't be in good shape. Just saying.
Well, Zach, he's 250. He's 6'1", 250 on the Ole Miss roster. So he's a big fella.
Hell yeah.
Perfect. Kiffin said so himself. He said, we've got some conditioning work to do with my guy, but like, also, is there that much conditioning that a punter needs to do?
Condition that leg.
250 is a big dude, and I love it. Obviously, you want Frazier Mason to be the guy if you can, because he is literally the only other punter on the roster. As someone, 6'5", 235, Frazier Mason, big leg, but he's an Aussie guy. So he's an Aussie punter. He was on the Australian rules, like football state team, and in wherever the heck in Australia,
Brisbane.
Whatever state that is, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the statehood of Australia, but he was on the Aussie rules football state team and in 2017 and 2016, Frazier Mason. And so he's going to probably be the guy, but if you've got a punter injured during camp, you got to go get somebody else, because Jonathan Cruz has not punted since high school. Now, Jonathan Cruz, mind you, was actually a first team all-state punter in Georgia during his senior year of high school, but that was 2017. So it's been a while since he's punted. So that's not great. Frazier Mason's dealing with, nobody disclosed his injury, but if it's a punter, you'd imagine it's like a pulled muscle or something, because if it's like a chest injury, you could probably punt through it. So it's probably like a pulled muscle in his leg. Not great, because you got to have somebody to punt. You go find Charlie Pollock, down at the frat. I know Lane was, actually, we don't know that Lane was joking. But you'd have to imagine that Lane was joking about the whole Kang party thing. But I'm going to choose to believe that he wasn't joking, because it's so funny to imagine Charlie Pollack just like outside of, you know, Sigma Chi or Sigma Nu or, you know, any of those houses down there on Fraternity Road, just like punting the ball and like, hey guys, check this out. You know, I used to be a punter and back at Nevada, you know, as a scholarship punter, and check out how far I can boot the ball. And I love imagining like John David Baker, or like somebody just driving by and being like, holy crap, look at that guy with the red hair, just absolutely booting the ball. So I'd like to choose to believe that they actually found him at a fraternity party or something. I don't think that's true. I think he was just joking. But yeah, gotta love that he has D1 experience.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think of it as like, yeah, kicking the football on Fraternity Row, just booming it into like the Tad Pad parking lot.
Yeah, and exactly.
The ball like is like rolling, and then it hits Jonathan Hess in the foot, and then he's like, there's our guy. And then they drive over there in a golf cart and pick him up, and the rest is history. I mean, this just sounds like, I mean, obviously, hopefully Fraser Mason, which by the way is a unit himself at 6'5", 235. You hope that he can be healthy and be able to kick this season, but hey, who says you can't do a two punter system? You have a righty and a lefty. I mean, you can go with a directional, you know, look, or just try to boom it for some hang time. I mean, I saw some clips of Pollack with some, you know, 4.95 second hang time.
That's his thing. He's not a big like distance or consistently, you know, he averaged what, 39 something in high school. Yeah,
close to 40. That's almost in high like school.
3 or 4 yards shorter than Mac Brown. But Mac Brown, actually, credit to him, he's in the XFL. He's eligible for the XFL draft. Shout out to my guy, Mac. He was really good at hang time too, but that's Charlie Pollack's thing. From all the tape that I watched, he just like sends the ball 9,000 miles in the air. That gives his guys a chance to go get under it and make a play.
Yeah, so you could do a two punter system where if you need hang time, you need to force a fair catch. You could roll Mr. Pollack out there. And then if you're maybe not at midfield and you're looking to flip the field, play some field position, you put the lefty out there, let him get that rugby background, and maybe boom a directional low liner. You know, maybe a nice little, you know, knockdown punch 5-iron and try to pin somebody deep, and just let your coverage team get down there and make a play. But yeah, I mean, I applaud the staff for, you know, thinking on their feet and going and finding somebody. And yeah, I mean, like you said, it's not just some random Joe Blow off the street. This is a guy that actually went to college. And like I said, on scholarship as a punter, which is rare. Yeah,
it is rare.
So yeah. So all I can think of is that this is going to be some kind of storyline that they're going to do on College Game Day.
Probably. And I think the funniest part too of this entire thing is that, you know, there's a whole conversation being had about the punter, and you got to obviously find somebody. So you go get Charlie Pollack. You hope that Mason Fraser is healthy, or Fraser Mason is healthy, you know, come week one. But I think the funniest part of this whole thing is like, Ole Miss does not punt that often. Mac Brown punted 43 times last year in 12 games. You're averaging like, I don't know, three and a half, four punts a game, which is like nothing compared to other schools. So this whole thing is, whole conversation's being had. And I think the bottom line here is that like Ole Miss is just never going to punt. Like Lane is just never going to punt the ball ever, because he's got a guy dealing with probably some sort of like pulled muscle or something. And then a guy who they grabbed, you know, quote, out of the keg party. Ole Miss is just never going to kick the ball, and I'm so okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I would love for them to really lean into it on game day and to do something silly with like Gene Wojcicki, to do like an in-depth piece on the inner workings of the Greek system and how they provided a punter for Lane Kiffin, even though he never uses a punter. So yeah, just free content for Kirk and the fellas on game day. So, all right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to close up with some basketball recruiting. On three's Jamie Shaw, another friend of the program, released all of his superlatives, his top 10 freshmen for the 22-23 season. And Ole Miss had a couple names pop up on there. So hang tight, hear from the sponsors, and when we get back, some basketball recruiting to close up this Tuesday show.
Podcast brought to you by Protection Unlimited Incorporated, the Mid-South's leader in commercial and residential alarm security. Wayne Lowry and his team have been serving the greater Memphis area and North Mississippi for 50-plus years and would love to get your business and or family protected today. They offer cutting-edge security for your home or business with video surveillance options, and they're monitoring 24/7, 365. You can reach them via phone at 901-754-6510 or email them at info@protectionunlimited.com. Podcast also comes to you thanks to Bluff City Advisory Group, Memphis's leading team of finance professionals. They can provide advanced assistance with financial planning, pension and qualified plan support, and business and estate planning strategies. Former Ole Miss Rebel and founding partner Ben Still, along with his elite level customer service team, make it their goal to help you meet the ongoing demands of your financial needs. Learn more about them at bluffcityadvisory.com. Podcast brought to you by the Berry Home Team. You're ready to sell and make the most net profit from your home. Call Stacy and Rick Berry today. They will lead you through the process from property assessment, repairs, staging, and putting that sold sign in your yard. Both have earned the multi-million dollar club member status, and they would love to assist you today in your real estate ventures. Call them 901-481-6420 or 901-461-6421. After you have talked to the Berry Home Team, you can talk to Saddle Creek Title, another proud sponsor of the show. They're the Mid-South's leader in client-focused, innovative closing solutions. Neil Hanna and his team are more than just a real estate closing firm. They are dedicated to going the distance to ensure the ease and growth of your real estate business. Find more information at saddlecreektitle.com or call them 901-753-1600. Show brought to you by Davis McCord State Farm. If you're looking for good neighbor service and surprisingly great insurance rates, look no further than Davis and his team. They are your one-stop shop in Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi for the service you deserve at the price you want. So stop looking around. Give Davis a call. He is ready to help. 901-755-6110. And get your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And we are back here on Not Committed, closing things up here on your Tuesday episode. All right, talked about it before we hit the break. Jamie Shaw, On3's national basketball recruiting analyst, has been ranking all the top freshmen in each Power 5 conference coming into the 22-23 season. Going through the SEC, I'll just run through the list here. Number one, Cason Wallace, the five-star point guard out of Texas, who is at Kentucky now. Number seven overall player. Number two, five-star Brandon Miller, who's from Antioch, Tennessee, right down the road from us, who is at Alabama. Number three, five-star Anthony Black, the number 12 overall player, who is at Arkansas. Right behind him, another Arkansas player, five-star guard Nick Smith. And then you've got at number five, five-star forward G.G. Jackson, who made history earlier this summer. It was the first ever decommitment for North Carolina as he flipped his commitment to South Carolina to go up there and play for the Gamecocks, which I say go up there. He is from Columbia, so he's not having to go very far. Number six, four-star power forward Johan Traore, hope that I didn't say that wrong. He's at Auburn. Number seven, five-star Julian Phillips. If you haven't picked up on it yet, there is a theme to this list in the SEC. There is a lot of five-stars. Number eight, four-star forward Chris Livingston, who's at Kentucky. Number 21 overall player. And then number nine, four-star combo guard Amari Abram, Ole Miss. Now, he did rank these in his own order. They weren't just straight who's the highest ranked in the 22 class, as Amari Abram was ranked as the number 77 overall prospect in the On3 consensus rankings. Jamie Shaw says, quote, Amari Abram has a crafty way about his game. He is a great complement to returning point guard Deshaun Ruffin, who is returning from an ACL injury. Abram is a combo guard who is comfortable playing in the playing the one or the two at the SEC level. He has good positional size and can handle, shoot, and pass. How Ruffin returns will be integral to whether Abram starts or comes off the bench. Regardless of his starting status, expect him to be the primary backup at both guard spots and most likely earn starter-like minutes through the season. So, we're not going to break down what happened in the Bahamas, as that was just an exhibition couple games. But look, I, as a true freshman, 6'4", 190, played a lot in the Bahamas and actually looked pretty good. I do think, and Jamie mentioned it here with his ability, he says handle, shoot, and pass. I do think Abram is going to be an excellent complement to Ruffin and to Matthew Morrell as well. As good as he is at scoring the basketball and getting into the lane, finishing through contact, I do think his best attribute is his vision and being able to see the whole floor and to get others involved in the offense. I think that's probably what he's best at this state of his game with how young he is. I think he's only going to get better at scoring the basketball, fine-tuning that aspect of his game. But I think he's an excellent defender, which I know Kermit loves that. But I do think he is an underrated facilitator of the basketball, and I think that's what's going to get him on the floor early and often later this year.
Yeah, no, I completely second that statement. The what I think about when I look at Abram is, over the course of, gosh, as long as I've been following Ole Miss basketball, so, you know, at least a decade or so, every single season, I remember one or two games, at least one or two games, where there's kind of one player who, he may come off the bench, he may be like a low-level starter who rotates in and out a lot, but that player on one or more occasions like just gets stupid hot at the right time and kind of carries Ole Miss across the finish line when maybe some of the other players are struggling. And so in this case, I see Abram, like you said, as a facilitator, one, but two, if those guys like Ruffin and all the players on the court are struggling, and Abram just happens to catch the hot hand. I think there's one point last year where he dropped like 10 or 11 threes in like a playoff game. So clearly he's got that kind of clutch gene and could be the guy who this year, it seems like it happens every single year. There's like one or two games, whether it be Auburn and Brian Tyree was struggling or Terrence Davis was struggling and somebody else picked up the pieces around them. Abram could be that guy to where he could just catch fire one game, just be the hot hand that they continue to feed the ball, and Morrell and Joyner and all those guys, you know, don't have to worry about being the primary scorer in that game because Abram's just on fire. I think that's something that's definitely going to happen at some point this year. And for him to be ranked, you know, as high as he is on the On3 list just speaks to the fact that Kermit continues to recruit talent that people are excited about beyond just Ole Miss and beyond just, you know, in Oxford, to where he's getting national attention and SEC attention. So it'll be a big, big piece to this team and this offense in particular, you know, once the season gets underway.
Ole Miss just missed having two in the top 10 as a 4-star forward. Jalen Reed made it as number 10. He is at LSU. He is obviously the son of the late Justin Reed, who played at Ole Miss, was originally committed to Florida and then opted to open things back up when Mike White left, which I think most thought that he might just go to Georgia with Mike White. I figured it might not be the worst thing to stay at Florida because I'm a huge Todd Golden stan, but went to LSU. But they did get another name on the list. Jamie included other freshmen to watch, and TJ Caldwell made it, the 3-star forward out of Texas, who was pretty incredible as a senior. He is rated as a 4-star by On3, but in the consensus, he is a 3-star. Just missed 4-star status in the consensus, but yeah, it was a I mean, you want to talk about an integral part of a team. Played at Waxahachie Faith Family Academy in Texas, won a state title, and was named MVP of the Class 4A state championship game. He and his teammates won that game by 26 points and finished with a 36-4 record to close out his prep campaign there. But yeah, 20 points, won the state title, and was named MVP. So he's a guy that I think is going to probably turn some heads this year. I think he's going to be an excellent, you know, sixth, seventh guy on the bench, come in high energy, make some plays defensively, and then probably end up on SportsCenter a couple times with some of the dunks that he's going to be able to make in transition. Cause I did a couple things over time during his recruitment. Actually, if you go look on his profile, you can find the post link to his profile, but he actually dunked over a 6'11" teammate in practice.
Pretty good.
Got some bounce to him. He's electric. I mean, he's a guy that's doing East Bay dunks in games. Just makes it look effortless. He's the kind of guy where you watch him and you're like, you know, why can't I just regularly dunk with how easy he makes it look? But yeah, I think that Caldwell is someone that's going to really flash as the season goes on. I think he's going to get more and more comfortable in the system and in the rotation. And I do think his energy and how, you know, he takes pride in how well he plays defense. I know I've talked to several scouts and several guys in the industry that say that they noticed that over time with him playing in high school and then on the AAU circuit with how tenacious of a defender he was and how he took pride in doing that. And as we know, Kermit loves his defense. So yeah, two guys on the watch list there for Kermit, his staff. So say what you want. Hot seat, no hot seat, not making the tournament, whatever. Now they got to win.
They have to win.
I've said that on this show. I mean, it doesn't matter who you get or how you do it. You got to win. But they are still recruiting at a very high level. They've got 2 4 stars right now in the 23 class. Looking to potentially add, I would think they can get at least one more, possibly two. I know they've got Josh Hubbard, the in-state guard, that is announcing a commitment next month. And then they're going to host a couple big-time 4-star prospects this fall. So, look, got to get some results on the court. But for those that were questioning his chops as a recruiter, and I do think you have to definitely give a lot of credit to the new staff and Brock Morris and Robert Kirby and how well they have attacked this cycle. But yeah, so big ups to Amari Abram and TJ Caldwell for making the list. So. All right, that's going to do it for this Tuesday show. We'll be back on Thursday. It'll be a bittersweet show for us as Grayson will be bidding adieu. We will talk more about that on Thursday. But hey, it's been fun. And we'll do it again on Thursday. So for Grayson over there, I'm Zach. Thank you to the sponsors for making this possible. Thank you to you, the listener,
for tuning in. Thank you to you, the listener, for tuning in.
Absolutely. I know people are clamoring for recruiting. We can't just create it out of thin air. I do think Ole Miss is gonna receive some good news probably 5 or 6 days. My math is correct. But yeah, it's been a fun summer. Fall camp is still rolling. And like I said, we'll have another podcast coming to you later this week that I think you're gonna like. I'm excited for it. So that's gonna do it. Back on Thursday. We out.